John chapter 20, we'd like to read verse 19 through 23. Then the same day at evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews, came Jesus and stood in the midst, and saith unto them, Peace be unto you. And when he had so said, he showed unto them his hands and his side. Then were the disciples glad when they saw the Lord. Then said Jesus to them again, Peace be unto you. As my Father has sent me, even so send I you. And when he had said this, he breathed on them and saith unto them, Receive ye the Holy Ghost. Whosoever sins ye remit, they are remitted unto them. And whosoever sins ye retain, they are retained. Jesus Christ has been seized. He's been arrested. He's been put through a mock trial. He's been delivered up to crucifixion. He has died. He has given his life. He died and he is placed in a borrowed tomb. And here in John chapter 1, we find the passage of Scripture about the first day when they came and they found the tomb empty. The women came and found the tomb empty. John and Peter, the other disciples, came. And on this same day, we find the disciples gathered. In light of all that has happened, in light of all that has transpired, we find the disciples on the first day of the week assembled behind closed doors. And I don't know if that means just shut. I don't know if that means locked in addition to being shut. I just know that they were gathered there for fear of the Jews. And they had every cause to fear. The Jews had played their part. The Jews had played a role in delivering up Jesus Christ. And they didn't know if the Jews would get on a roll and maybe come after them. They didn't understand all these things. I think that's a point we need to remind ourselves often. It wasn't until after the resurrection and the appearance of the Lord to the disciples and the Lord's enlightening them that they understood what he'd been teaching them. They didn't understand really all that they needed to about why he was going to die and that he was going to rise again and he was going to go back up to the Father. It was after the fact that they came to understand these things. And here they are, meeting behind closed doors where they were assembled for fear of the Jews. And I want you to notice how Jesus changed their fear into confidence. I want you to notice how Jesus changed their fear into courage. First of all, it tells us there in that 19th verse that he came unto them. He came unto them where they were assembled. Second of all, in that 19th verse, he came where they were. Not only did he came, not only did he come unto them where they were assembled, that location, but he came where they were, behind those closed doors, possibly behind those locked doors. He came where they were. And then we're told that he spoke peace. He spoke peace unto them. Peace be unto you, the last part of verse number 19. Then in verse number 20, first part of the verse, he showed unto them his wounds. Those wounds yet visible. And so he changed their fear to gladness. He changed their fear to confidence, their fear to courage by coming unto them, coming where they were, speaking peace unto them, and showing them his wounds. This is a very significant appearance of Jesus Christ to the apostles and the disciples that were a part of this assembly. He appeared unto them in his resurrection body. It was evident this was Christ. It's evidence that this is the Christ who was slain. This is the Christ who was buried, but he's risen again. And so it's significant. He appears before them in that resurrection body. Verse number 9 and 10 of this same chapter, it says, as yet they knew not the scripture that he must rise again from the dead. Then the disciples went away again unto their own home. They didn't understand the scripture that he must rise again. But here he is in that resurrection body. It's significant because here he is, and his wounds signify their sins have been paid for. Their sins have been paid for. He's gone to the cross. He's given his life. He's been buried. He has arisen. And there he is with those wounds, signifying your sins have been paid for. I have shed that blood that I spoke of. This is significant because he enters the place where they were gathered behind closed doors. This indicated to them that he was still able to work miracles. He was still a miracle worker. This signified to them that he was doing miracles in the spiritual realm because he was able to appear behind those closed doors without knocking, without having the doors open. He appeared, I believe, miraculously. And this passage of Scripture is significant because it signifies to them, and it should signify to us, that all the peace that Jesus had ever talked about, all the peace Jesus had ever promised, all the peace that they had hoped for, all the peace that we will ever understand, all the peace that we would ever hope for, it's all wrapped up in Jesus Christ. The person of Jesus Christ. So he came unto them. He came where they were. He spoke peace unto them. He showed them his wounds in his resurrection body, showing the price of sin had been paid, miraculously appearing, showing his power and his spiritual miracle working ability, reminding them that peace comes through Christ. There will be no peace upon any soul separate and apart from Jesus Christ. He came to reconcile sinners and enemies to God. And reconciliation is only available through Jesus Christ. Do you have peace with God? All are sinners. All are the enemies of God. All hate God when you really look at the hard facts. None are able to love or to love God until they first experience His love. Do you have peace with God? You're only going to find it through Jesus Christ. You're never going to do enough. You can't do enough. There's nothing else you can do but receive Jesus Christ if you want to have peace with God. But there's not only peace with God, but there's the peace of God. And that's that deep, subtle peace that we experience every day of our life. That's only available by knowing Jesus Christ. Now, I want to make some spiritual application to us in the day and age in which we live. I want to make some spiritual application to you, Grace Missionary Baptist Church, and each member and pastor. I want to impress upon you, and I want to impress upon me, I want to impress upon us the fact that we don't have to serve the Lord. We don't have to go to church. It ought not to be a matter of our having to do anything. We need a revival, and we need to get over this have-to attitude. And we need to be reminded, and we need a revival in understanding that we get to be here. We get to assemble. We get to be a member of one of the Lord's churches. We're living in perilous times. We're living in fearful times. There's fears from without. There's fears within. And only Jesus can calm those fears. Bless us in our time of fear. And I believe there is a sense that fear, going through life, day-to-day living, ought to arise a fear within us that brings us to the house of the Lord for relief. That brings us to God's house. That brings us to the gathering together of the saints in the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. Because of the fear and because of the pressure and the sin, the wickedness and the trials and the tribulations that face us every single day, fear ought to bring us to the house of the Lord. We ought not to want to miss an opportunity to be with God's people. Fear and the dreadful situation, environment in which we live should bring us gladly to the house of the Lord. So they were gathered for fear. And there's nothing wrong with that sense of fear and dread and all that we have to go through and the dreadful attacks that Satan brings against us. There's nothing wrong with fear bringing us to this place of relief. Fear caused them to assemble together. And there's experiences that we go through during the week that ought to drive us to the house of the Lord, where we ought not to want to be anywhere else but with the saints. Verse 19 says, the disciples were assembled. They were gathered together. Well, so do we gather together. The churches of the Lord Jesus Christ gather together. Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews chapter 10. Verse 25, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as ye see the day approaching. Paraphrasing, let us not forsake the gathering together of God's people. And may that be the case more and more as we see the coming of our Lord drawing nigh. I think that speaks of the deterioration that's going to be going on leading up to the coming of Jesus Christ. These are days and times in which people think you need less church. But the fact is, and the reality is, these are days and times when we need more church, more and more church, more and more assembling. These are the days when it's hard to get God's people to come to the house of the Lord. But these are the days that ought to cause God's people to flock to the house of God. So much the more as you see the day approaching, let us not forsake the assembling of ourselves together. Matthew chapter 18. They were gathered for fear of the Jews. Because of that fear, they were driven to assemble in that place behind those closed doors. In life and all that we face in these days, awaiting the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, should drive us to the house of the Lord. Give us a burden and a desire to be with the saints of the Lord. Because as they were gathered there, according to our text, Jesus came. Do we experience anything similar to that? What does Matthew chapter 18, verse 20 say? Where two or three are gathered together in my name, look at what Jesus says. There am I in the midst. He comes to where they are. He comes into the place where they are assembled. He comes to where we are. He comes into our midst. And that's a promise we have from Jesus Christ. Where two or three are gathered together, there am I in the midst of them. He said in the Great Commission of Matthew chapter 28, lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. He comes where we are. He came to where they were and he spoke peace. And I believe he comes to where we are and meets with us. And I believe similarly he speaks peace. He speaks peace to his people. In 2023, when God's people are driven from the world and gather together to worship and to praise him, he's promised to be with us, to meet with us, and he's still speaking peace. When was the last time you came to church expecting to hear Jesus speak peace to you and you heard him? I believe every time we come to the house of the Lord, we ought to come expecting to have Him speak peace unto us. And I believe if we come expecting Him to speak peace unto us, every time we come together, He's going to speak peace unto us. Maybe most people aren't going to get it. Maybe most people are going to come in, sit like bumps on the log, and go out untouched and unfazed. But God help some of us to come to the house of the Lord to hear Him say, peace. And may some of us hear that and receive that which we need to go back out to another week. Back out into this old wicked world. John 14, verse 27. Peace, Christ speaking. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Chapter 16, verse 33. Christ speaking, these things have I spoken unto you, that you might have peace. In the world you're going to have tribulation. But when the people of the Lord gather together, when the churches of the Lord assemble into one place, they're coming away from the world. They're coming out from the world. They're gathering together as the body of Christ in that particular location. So in the world we're going to have tribulation. But let that drive us to the house of the Lord. Let that drive us to the gathering together of God's people. Because Christ has promised to be with us, and He will speak peace unto us, and we'll not be disappointed. Every time we come anticipating that, we'll hear Him say, in the world ye shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. Well, why should we be of good cheer, Lord? I have overcome. And then he came into that upper room where they were meeting for fear of the Jews. Fear had driven them there, but He appeared and He spoke peace unto them. And then they were glad in their hearts when they saw that it was Jesus, because they saw He had overcome death. He'd overcome the grave. Death couldn't hold Him. He'd come into their midst, showing His victory. And He's with us in our services every time the Lord's true churches gather together. He's speaking peace, calling us away from the tribulation and the trials of the world, telling us He's gotten the victory. That's still applicable today, every day of our life. We live out in this world, we come into the house of the Lord, and He speaks peace. He says, it's okay, I've gotten the victory. God's people ought to be living victorious Christian lives. It ought not just to be a catchphrase, but we should be living victorious Christian lives because He has overcome. I remember Brother Clyde Hancock preaching about victorious Christian living, that utopia. I can hear His voice. He had that unique voice. Christians should be living a utopia Christian existence. Because the people of the Old Testament were in the promised land. They were there. And they were to be experiencing the joy of being in the center of God's will, though there were enemies and difficulties that they had yet to face. And he has overcome the world, and greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. He says, you'll have tribulation in the world, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. Live in the center of God's will. Live that utopia Christian life. Live a victorious Christian life, because Christ has given us the victory. He showed them his wounds. He showed them his wounds. Verse number 20 of our text says, he showed them his hands and his side. I can't remember which one of the other gospels, but one of the other gospels, maybe it was Luke, mentions his feet. He showed them his hands, his side, and his feet. He showed them his wounds. We come into the house of the Lord, and you know the Lord does the same thing. He shows us his wounds. Our ordinances. Show us the gospel. Show us the wounds of Jesus Christ. The Lord's Supper is a memorial to the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. We baptize believers, signifying the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Our ordinances are filled with the gospel, filled with our seeing the wounds of Jesus Christ. Our gospel and the preaching of the gospel shows us the wounds, the singing of songs, and our praying and our prayers in the name of Jesus Christ. Bring before our eyes the wounds. We see Jesus Christ as having died for us, gotten the victory for us. And he's at the right hand of the Father. And I believe those wounds are yet visible. In the presence of God. Verse 21 of our text. Then said Jesus to them again, peace be unto you. As my Father hath sent me, even so send I you. They were gathered together for fear of the Jews. And Jesus came where they were gathered together, spoke peace unto them, showed them his wounds. Then he sent them back out into the world. That happens every time the Lord's church is gathered together. He calls us away from the world, but he doesn't call us here to be a cult. He doesn't call us here to hide away and not to go back out. But he calls us here. He speaks peace. He shows us his wounds. We worship. Then he sends us back out into the world, as the Father sent him into the world. The Great Commission of Matthew 28, we mentioned a little while ago, which is repeated in Mark's Gospel, go into all the world. Now go out and preach Jesus Christ. So we gather together, and it is a great privilege and blessing that God gives us to gather together. And he gathers with us in our midst. That's not some fairy tale. That's not a a pipe dream. I believe he's here. He's promised to be here with Grace Baptist Church, Grace Missionary Baptist Church of Frankfort. He's promised. Does he keep his promises? He never fails to keep his promises. He is gathered here in your midst every time you gather together. He comes where his churches meet. He comes into the midst of his assemblies and he speaks peace. He shows us his hands and his feet and his sacrifice and his gospel. He sends us forth into the world. Are you saved this morning? Do you know? I'm not asking you what you think. I'm not even asking you what you feel. I'm asking you, do you know that Jesus Christ died for your sins? Have you been saved? Have you been born again? Do you know Jesus Christ went to the cross, suffered and bled and died, was buried and rose again, is at the right hand of the Father coming again? Do you know it was for you? What does hinder you then from being saved? Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. I don't apologize for preaching what Christ preached. I don't apologize for preaching what the apostles preached. I don't apologize for preaching without all the qualifying statements. I know about the sovereignty of God. I know about the doctrines of grace. I know that all these things are under God's control. But the message that sinners need to hear is believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. I think we get caught up spending all of our time trying to make sure we're sounding theologically correct. And sinners aren't hearing. They need to repent and believe. Are you still lost in your sins? Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, why not today? Wilt thou be saved? Come. You have no greater need. Are you a member of Grace Missionary Baptist Church? Are you here and you know you're saved, you know Jesus Christ died for you, but yet you're not a member of this assembly? I don't know who is and who isn't. I'm just asking the question to everyone. Are you saved and you know you're saved and not a member of the Lord's church here? What does hinder you? You can't serve the Lord as effectively, as efficiently. You can't bring honor and glory to the Lord as well outside of one of the Lord's churches as you can inside. Ephesians 3:21 still says a very precious verse to me. Unto God be glory in the church. In the assembly. That local assembly. What does hinder you this morning from giving up all your reasonings and all your excuses and just giving in to doing it God's way? Because Jesus Christ died, according to Scripture, not just to save his people, but Acts 20, I think it is, tells us that God shed his blood for his church, for his assembly. If you're here this morning and you're saved, you know you're saved and you're a member of Grace Missionary Baptist Church of Frankfort, I want to challenge you in these services. I want to challenge you as you go beyond these services. To come to the house of the Lord, come to the service of the Lord, come to the worship of God in this place. Not because you're commanded to, though you're commanded to, Not because missing church is a sin, though I believe missing church is a sin if you're not truly providentially hindered. I ask you, don't come because it's commanded. Don't come because it's sin if you don't. I challenge you as members of this church to come together for the positive reason. Come seeking a blessing from the Lord. And you're going to find a blessing from the Lord. Your coming will not be in vain. If you come prepared to hear Jesus say, "Peace, all is well. Hang in a little longer. Help is on the way. I'm coming again." If you come to the house of the Lord, then it won't matter what anybody else is doing. It won't matter what anybody else says. It won't matter what else is going on. If you come expecting and prepared to hear Jesus say, "Peace," you're going to hear him say, "Peace." And oh, how we need that to live in these days, to hear him say peace. Come for the right reason. Come for that positive reason of hearing him say peace. And you'll hear him. And I would ask you, when was the last time you heard that? It ought to be every service occurrence. We come away from the world and the Lord's promised to meet with us. And if we come prepared to hear him say peace, he will say peace. It ought to be in every service occurrence. But if it's been a long time, what do you need to do? I'll just put it bluntly. What do you need to do this morning to get back in sync with the Lord? And come to the house of the Lord and hear him say peace. Peace. God bless and may God work upon all of us to come together, to hear him say peace, because we need to hear it. Thank you, brother.